So this morning's topic is joy, and which you all knew because you've already knew sheet and da-di-da-di-da. And I'm sure you thought this morning, we're going to go to church, we're going to have a detailed exposition of how joy is found in the scriptures, presented by a serious Bible scholar. Well, on two counts, you're in the wrong place. But if you want to hear what God has got to say to us as a group, based on the theme of joy, then you're in the right place. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Let's pray. Father, we want to hear your word this morning. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear what you say, nothing more, nothing less. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get straight into it. If I could have the first Bible verse, please. There we are. This is the. I thought I should do something seasonal. All right. So this is the Three Kings, and they'd been to Jerusalem. They'd heard the king. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them till it stopped over the. Roll it on, please. Right, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. One of the versions says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Right. Now, if you're an external observer at this thing, you've got these three kings turning up. They see a star. They're carried away with joy. And you might think to yourself, what? What are they doing? Why? You might think to yourself, have they completely lost it? Are they on something? Or you might think to yourself, well, they have travelled a long way. So maybe they're jet-lagged. Or in their case, they are camel-lagged, which is a serious problem. I can tell you for sure that the economy seats at the back of the camel are just a nightmare. So you might think, what are these people doing? Why are they so joyful? What's it all about? It's not obvious. So the more I looked at the subject of joy, the more it occurred to me that it's actually a lot more complicated than you might think. It's not necessarily a problem, but it means it's a lot deeper than you think too. So I'm going to try and just pick out a few things that God sort of said I really want you to tell the folk about on the subject of joy. And as I have a constant search for the perfect three-point sermon, I'm going to try and do it in 3 points. Well, not quite. So I'm going to talk a little bit about joy as in your emotions, joy as in your mind, and joy as in your heart, in your spirit. All right? Three different aspects. So that's my 3 points. Okay. Let's start with the easy one, which is joy is part of your emotions. Now, if you talk to people in the street, that's what they'll think about if you mention the word joy, right? Joy is an emotion. Happy clappy. That's what people will think about joy. Now, I also need to give you a health warning here. I am about to make some sweeping generalizations. But bear with me, and it will sort of come clear at the end, I hope. Okay? So, joy in your emotions. We all want that. I believe, I'm not the serious Bible scholar that you thought you'd come to hear. But I believe we were actually created to be joyful. Yeah? I believe it's part of God's blueprint, if you like, that we are created to be joyful. So joy as an emotion is a very powerful thing. Yes? And we all put a lot of time and effort into trying to get it. True? Right. And we... There are two things about joy as an emotion. Hence the sweeping now the sweeping generalizations. A lot of the time, joy as an emotion is quite short-lived. Yeah, the full Monty joy emotion is quite short-lived. And the other thing is that a lot of the time, there are times when this isn't true, but a lot of the time, it's very dependent on your circumstances. It's very dependent on external factors, right? So, mankind puts an enormous amount of effort into trying to engineer their circumstances so that the circumstances bring them joy. True? Enormous amount of effort. It's about what you eat, what you drink, what you take, what you wear, who you're with, who are you seen with. Many, many things. We've worked so hard at it, sometimes. And to be honest, people, it's tiring. It's hard work. So God said to me this morning, tell the people that's not what I created you to be. There is a better way. And that's what we're going to get into a little bit later on. There is more to joy, much more to joy, than emotions. I'm not, hear me absolutely on this, they aren't wrong, but they're not the whole story, right? So we're going to try and explore a little bit more of other aspects of joy. So we've got the emotions, but before I leave that, going on a bit of a tangent here, this is another thing that God really told me to say, and this is a bit of a challenge. If I could have the next Bible verse, please, which is 1 Corinthians 12. There we are. One part suffers. This is the bit in Corinthians talking about the body, talking about us as the body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And if I could have the next Bible verse, please. This is Paul also saying, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. So, you put those two Bible verses together, and in essence, we are the body here, right? You don't look very sure about that. Wakey-wakey. So, although Paul here is talking about, in general, rejoice with those who rejoice, in the body, we're all supposed to be, as one rejoices, we should all rejoice. As one mourns, we should all mourn. Even more so in the body than in the world. That's what I'm saying. Now, so the question is, how do we do this? Now, I'm going to stick my neck out slightly. It's got to be a bit controversial. And say that it's easier to mourn with those who mourn than it is to rejoice with those who rejoice. And the reason is quite simple. You don't want to be mourning. So you're not wanting to put yourself in the place of the person you're with. But you do want to be rejoicing. So you have to think about not yourself, but the other person when you're rejoicing with someone who's rejoicing. Do you get me? All right then. If you're mourning with somebody who mourns, you're not thinking to yourself, oh, I wish I was in mourning. Right? If you're rejoicing with somebody who is rejoicing, you possibly, of course you're all very spiritual people, so I'm sure you're not, but you're possibly thinking, oh, I would like to be rejoicing like that. Get me? So it is a little bit different. Now, let me invent a story to try and explain that a little bit better. He's actually gone out with the kids, but I'm going to give you a very simple made-up story about Scotty. He's okay, I've told him. Now, Scotty, as we know, does weddings and birthday parties and food and stuff for, you know, for the discerning punter. And suppose he goes along to a birthday party and he does a really, really good job, and they're, you know, they're very happy with the food and the whole thing, and it's great, they're great. And the person who's in charge comes up to him at the end and says, thank you, it's brilliant, da-di-da. I want to sort of give you something else, but I haven't got anything. The only thing I've got is that my wife bought me a lottery ticket. So I'm going to give you my lottery ticket. I hope it works out for you. Right, fine. Scotty goes away, forgets all about it. Next Saturday night, he is actually reminded. And he gets his lottery ticket out, and he wins £1 million. Right? Saturday night. Sunday morning, he's here in church. Now, this is not about Scotty. This is about us. What is our reaction to the joy that Scotty has for winning £1 million? That's good. But I would suspect there are a lot of different ways of reacting. And this is what God was really wanting to sort of say. There will be those, Claire's one, who will go up and hug him and bounce up and down until there's a big hole in the floor. There will be others who will shake him by the hand, say, nice, you know, well done. There will be those who sit in the pews and say, oh, I hear Scotty's won £1 million, that's nice. And there may be, I hope there aren't, but there may be one or two thinking, what did it happen to Scotty? It didn't happen to me. I work much harder than Scotty. All he does is cook. Now, I'm hoping that there's nobody in that, but you must admit it's a possibility. All right? Now, there were, 50 of us this morning? It doesn't really matter. Say I took 50 people from Clevedon who are together on a fairly regular basis, know each other quite well, da-di-da-di-da. And exactly the same thing happened there. One of their members unexpectedly won £1 million. What would be the range of reactions there? Would it be the same as the possible range of reactions that I've just highlighted that might happen here? Right? Are you with me so far? Well, the point is, eventually, we get to the point eventually, that in the kingdom of God, rejoicing with those who rejoice means that the spectrum of responses that we get should not be the same as the spectrum of responses that you get from 50 people I just pluck out from the street. We've got to learn that it's not entirely about us. And actually celebrating with your whole heart for something that's happened to somebody else that maybe you'd quite like it happened to you. There's only one way you can do that. Through God's good grace. And that should be the difference, folks, between what we are here as a group and as an exactly numbered 86 people outside in Cleveland somewhere. We have to be different. Or there's no point. We have to react differently to each other, or there's no point. So God is saying that your attitude to when someone is really joyful and the reason, that's an acid test. That's why I said it was a challenge. Because it's a test of how much are we open to the Spirit of God working in us so that we are not the number one. I don't know what the answer is for you. You have to work that out for yourself. But it's a test, and how we rejoice with those who rejoice is just a if you like, it's a pin that you can hang a sort of bigger question on. How much of our lives are we caring and sharing with each other so that it makes a difference? So that the reactions that you get here are not the same as the reactions you get in the world. That's a challenge. And the joy thing is just a sort of symbol of the challenge. But I felt God very clearly wanted me to say that. So I said it. Right? Okay. Now then. Back to the three wise men. The three wise men have just come out of the arrivals hall at Bethlehem International and are standing, staring at this star, being exceedingly joyful. So the question is, what are they doing? What is the joy that they have? Is it emotional joy? Partly, perhaps. But I think that the answer to why they are exceedingly joyful is because they have seen what God is doing and they're part of it. They have understood what God is doing, bringing Jesus as a baby. They understand that God is on the move and they're part of it. Now that, folks, is serious joy. And I call that mental joy. Because it will last a long, long, long time. A long time after it's all gone, and they've gone back to wherever it is they've just cameled in from. Every time they think about that, I guarantee they will smile. Because it's embedded. It's the joy of seeing that God is in the move, God is on the move, God is doing stuff, and being part of it. Being part of it. If we can have the next Bible verse, please. This is the story of in the Gospels of the 72 who gets sent out to all the villages and the countryside and go off for quite a long time, and then they come back. And that 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So they're doing the same thing. They're seeing that God's on the move, God's doing stuff, and they're part of it. And that brings them joy. With me? So the question is, how do we find out for ourselves what God being on the move and being part of it actually means, and as a real thing rather than just Peter standing up here, you know, waffling on. But it doesn't need to be on this sort of big scale that we've just read on the thing there. Let me just give you two examples to bring it a bit down to earth. So say, which we do sometimes at the end of the meeting, a load of people come and stand out here for healing. Now, you can be absolutely sure that God is on the move in healing. God will always want to heal, always wants to heal. He's never got times when he can't be bothered with it. So you can be absolutely sure that that's God on the move, healing. So you stand here, you pray for somebody, perhaps with something quite serious, and you find out a week or two later, perhaps, as you know, that's the way sometimes these things work, that they're completely healed. They are completely healed. Now, you may never see that person again. But just like the three wise men back in wherever it is, when you think of that person, you will smile. Because you have seen God at work and you've been part of it. It doesn't have to be complicated. Say you've been, say you're working with a dysfunctional family, and you're with them for a long time, caring with them, praying with them, helping them to, you know, with all different things going on. And over the years, you see the family get back together, and you see relationships restored, and you see things coming back the way they should be. Again, 10 years' time, every time you think about that, you will smile. Because you were where God was moving and you were part of it. And that, folks, is a long-term joy which is not dependent on circumstances. Not dependent on earthly circumstances. It's only dependent, if you like, on God's circumstances. God's saying, we're going to do this, which is fine, because God's always got it right. People don't always get it right? So your earthly circumstances can be completely up the creek, but God's circumstances never are. Yeah? So, joy in your mind is being part of what God is doing, understanding what God is doing, and being part of it, whatever that means for you. And again, we're here together, and we can help each other to understand where God is on the move generally, where there is, I mean, God being on the move sounds terribly grand and terribly great, but actually it can be just down to dealing with one single person. And we can help each other to understand that God is doing this right now, let's get in on it. Or we think you've got the right, you know, sort of spiritual gifts, let's help you to get in on it. We can help each other to get in on it. Yes? And that brings a long-term joy in your mind, which is what the three kings had. This is why they were glad. Exceedingly glad, it says. But they weren't bouncing up and down glad. They were, well, perhaps they were, I don't know. I mean, camels can be a bit tricky, but they were long-term glad, right? So emotional gladness, in my sweeping generalization, can be quite short-term, but this is long-term glad. Yeah? This is long-term glad. It's like it's like being by a warm fire for a long, long time. It sort of seeps into your very bones. You understand what I mean? So this is joy in the mind, because you are looking for what God is doing, being part of what God is doing, and seeing God on the move. And that's brilliant, folks. That is a serious joy to have. Okay? So that's 3 points on the perfect sermon. Come on, let's take it a bit more seriously, shall we, at the back there? Oh, yeah, all right. Oh. Right. Let us have the next Bible verse, please. Right, then this is from Acts, and some of the disciples and the early Christians are out and about in the world, spreading the word. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. This is joy in your inner being. This is joy in your... Now, joy and the Holy Spirit are not just put together in this verse because they couldn't think of something else to go. Joy and the Holy Spirit are inextricably linked. Right? Inextricably linked. That's a long word. It means you can't break it. So, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. When we become Christians, when we give our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. Which means joy comes. Joy comes into... One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And the fruits of the Spirit are what we exhibit the more we let the Holy Spirit that is already inside us into all the other bits that we tend to try and keep him out of. Yeah? So the more we let the Holy Spirit actually be in every part of our lives, the more the joy that comes with him gets into that bit too. So you are now capable of having the joy of God inside you, nothing to do with circumstances, not even God's circumstances. This is long-term, permanent, can't be changed, joy inside the real you. Yeah? It's not bouncy up and down joy. It's not smile when you think about something that you did joy. It's just fundamentally part of you. It's really hard to describe, but it is just fundamentally part of you, like your blood. It's just a part of what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be joyful creatures. God created us to be joyful. And the way he does it is by giving us the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. The joy comes with the Holy Spirit, therefore, job done. We are capable of being the joyful creatures that God created us to be. And it's not dependent on how life is going. It's not dependent on how life is going at all, if we choose to let it, because it's just about how much we let the Holy Spirit into all the things that we do. We all, to one degree or another, have sections of our lives that we're a bit reluctant, if we're truthful, to let the Holy Spirit in, right? Is that true? All right, or am I the only heathen in the midst here? But the more we let him in, the more the joy that automatically comes with him is part of that part of our life, and the blueprint that we were created against becomes nearer and nearer the truth. We get more and more like exactly what God said, you know, this is what Claire's going to be like, this is what Roger's going to be like, this is what Paul's going to be like. The blueprint. We get nearer and nearer the actual blueprint, every last bit, as we let the joy from the Holy Spirit into our lives and let it take over. Let it take over. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. God is really powerful. I will bang on about that for kingdom come, but we have an almighty God. But that almighty God, also through the Holy Spirit, is in here. So that's good. And that's joyful. It's all nice. But we need to be open to what God wants to bring. And then the Holy Spirit comes more and more and more, and the joy comes with him. And that... Anyway, you see, I'm getting somewhere. Right. One last aspect of that, please. Right. This is from the Old Testament. This is when the Israelites have just come back from exile in Babylon. And they've rebuilt the temple a certain amount, but more importantly, they have just found the books of the law, and they have read the books of the law out to the people. And if we go back a bit further, then they talk about a holy day when the books of the law are first read to the people, because they haven't heard them for 70 years. So for most of the people hearing them, it's the first time they've ever heard them, right? So Nehemiah says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the last aspect of having the joy with the Holy Spirit in you. It's not just an academic exercise to see how much of your life you can open up. It actually gives you strength to deal with all the stuff that we deal with. So the joy of the Lord, this is the inner joy that comes from the Spirit, that comes from having the Spirit with you, and the Spirit is joy. Having that inside, that is a strength. And that, folks, is one of the things that should make us very different from the 86 people that I could go and get it from Clevedon. Right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. But look, they're not against go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and have a bit of a rave up. So we've kind of come full circle. But now, the extra joy, if you like, that comes from having a great party is not the primary reason, it's the outcome. So there's nothing wrong with being joyful in the sense which we would usually use the word. Having fun, doing stuff, you know, eating and drinking. I think there's an advert there for the Old Testament version of the food bank. That's good so long as it comes from the outflowing of the joy that's with us, and it's not an end in itself, because that will never satisfy you. And no, it doesn't last that long. It's too prone to change for things that you don't have any control over. The Spirit being inside you, nobody else can take that from you. So it's not going to change. Joy that comes from the circumstances is terribly prone to change. So that's where we don't want to be. But if you come back to that, it's fine. But we all like a party. Choice food? Yes, please. And that's the order it should be in. So there's joy in your emotions, which are circumstantial and don't necessarily last forever, but aren't bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be a sort of boring old, you know, Puritan or whatever up here. They did get that wrong. Puritans got that bit wrong. That there is something good about celebration and joy. There it is. We are made to be cheerful. We're made to be joyful, not boring old... Anyway. So our emotional joy is good, so long as it's not the only thing that you seek. Mental joy, let's understand for us as individuals, for us as a group, what God is doing, where God is moving, and let's get in there, folks. Because that brings the joy of being part of what God is doing, which is brilliant. God, who made the heavens and the earth, quite happy to use you to do his stuff. Now that's got to be good. That's got to be joyful. And that will make you glad for the rest of your life. So that's good. But even better is the joy that's right down inside you, in your spirit, because the Holy Spirit is there. And joy equals Holy Spirit. So we're all on a journey. We all at different points in life. We all see different things differently. Some things are more important to one than the other, da-di-da. But there is an enormous reservoir of joy of all sorts. And this is only a snapshot of the different sorts of joy that there are in the Bible. There are lots more I could have talked about. But these are the ones I felt God wanted to talk to us about this morning. And it's... Yeah, there's this unending reservoir that we can tap into if we want to. And folks, we should, because it's the way forward. It is the way forward, and we become the people of God, different from the... able to rejoice with each other, to share more intimately with each other's lives, but together to do things that God wants us to do, that actually change the world. All right? If you've got the joy of the Lord as your strength, that, and we really get that, there's not a lot you can't do. With me? So that's what we need, especially at Christmas time. Hallelujah.